I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 57, we're discussing the Blake Fisher incident with the baboon picture, Travis's unnatural hatred of green Skittles, and an exciting new promotion we're running for new duck hunters.
What's new, Nate?
Not much, man. Honestly, I've been just working all week. Haven't been able to get out and see much, as little as there to see in Jackson, Mississippi.
What do you see in Jackson, Mississippi?
Honestly, there's some museums and stuff around, but I don't really care about that much. Yeah, there's not much to see in Jackson, Mississippi, unless you're like a duck hunter.
Are there ducks?
I haven't seen many ducks. I've seen a few geese, but like, it's not duck season, so I can't just like.
Yeah, you can't.
Even if I had the money to hire a guide, it's not duck season for me to do that.
You can't capitalize on Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
Let me ask you a question based on, because at this point in the show, we've alienated people named Chad, Indiana, California. Like, we've alienated a lot of
amputees.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's safe.
Yeah.
On this
so let
podcast.
Me ask you a question about Mississippi, and we'll just go ahead and rip this Band-Aid off. Every time I've ever been in Mississippi, be it the middle of summer, the middle of winter, it's dreary and gray. There's no sun. It's like, well, can you describe Mississippi's weather for me?
Yeah. As of right now, it's nice and dreary. Yeah. We got a little bit of a cold front coming through, so it's getting colder.
Yep.
By the minute. And yeah, so I think you hit it. Yeah. On the head there.
I don't even know when this will. I mean, I know when this will air. It'll air Tuesday. But Tuesday, when people listen to this driving to work, they're going to be like, wow, he nailed the weather forecast. And then, like, Thursday, if somebody listens to it after work, they're going to be like, wow, he nailed the weather forecast.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
It's always what
probably
it is.
Be a, yeah, I could probably be a meteorologist in middle Mississippi.
Yeah. Just like in Florida, you know, like in the summer, it's 70% chance of rain every afternoon. Mississippi right. is dreary and rainy.
What's new with you, Travis?
We have a big announcement. That's what's new with me.
Are you pregnant?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That's offensive.
Is it?
Yes.
Sorry.
To pregnant people. The big announcement is this, Nate. Are you ready for this? Oh, by the way, Kaylee. Say hello, Kaylee.
Hi.
Kaylee Grace is here again. 2 weeks in a row, we've got Kaylee Grace Henderson in studio.
What a treat.
It is a treat. And we've got a reason we've got her here, but we'll get into that later in the episode. But here is the deal. I want your cold reaction on this because you don't know about this idea. We are going to do pay your age duck hunts if you've never duck hunted before.
Love it.
So we've been talking about this. Emily and I have been talking about this quite a bit. We want to encourage more people to get into the sport. It's a hard entry point into the sport.
Absolutely.
So Emily came up with the idea of, why don't you let people pay their age rather than pay for a full charter? So this is a one-time deal. Like, people won't be able to book it over and over and over again. But to take someone duck hunting the first time, if they've never duck hunted before, them, their family, they pay their age.
Yeah, and it's only on, there's certain availability for it. It's not just like you get to pick a date and do it. So you have to reach out to Travis to get it booked. But one of Travis's values and something we talk about for our show is getting young people into the sport so that generations to come will still be involved in the conservation and the hunt. And we thought this was a really good way to put our money where our mouth was.
Yeah. So we're excited about that. It's being announced right now, Tuesday. So we'll start talking about it on social media probably later today or tomorrow. And we're pretty pumped about it.
What's the best way for them to reach out to you if they have somebody they know that wants to take advantage of that, or somebody wants to take advantage themselves?
Probably just a DM. You can reach any of us on Instagram at @castandblastfl, and that message will get to me. You can reach me on Instagram, social media, Travis Thompson. You can send us an email. I have an email address. It's travis@castandblastfl.com.
That should do it.
Yeah, you can figure out a way to get to us. In this day and age, I don't have a single spot where all the messages come. They just like appear in different places.
Now, awesome. I have a question about this.
Yeah,
is there an age limit? Like, you know, if a 4-year-old has never been duck hunting.
Well, that's a great question. There is an age limit in that we have to have a responsible adult on the trip.
Okay. Like a parent guardian type situation.
Yes, exactly. That's a great question.
What's the youngest you'll accept without a parent or guardian?
Over 18?
Yeah, that's what I would say, 18.
Yeah.
Over 18. We're super excited about that. That we've got still the cast and the CB20 promotions going at Darkwater Calls. Had a
go
couple
get
of people
your calls. Go get your calls.
Yes. Had some guys message me this week that they were ordering calls. So that's exciting. When you check out at darkwatercalls.com, put in capital C, capital B 20, you'll get 20% off the cost of that call. So again, if you're interested in getting into duck hunting, here's your starter kit, right? Get you a call. We'll take you on a duck hunt. I mean, what more could you ask for?
There's a good things ahead, man. Good things ahead. Oh yeah. You get breakfast too.
We'll go to breakfast. I ain't buying you breakfast though.
They can buy you breakfast.
Yeah, you paid $20 for this charter. You're buying your own breakfast.
Yeah. But no, we're excited to do it. Like Emily said, we have some limited availability. We are really trying to do some of these trips in the afternoons, which are not less duck hunting. Like, it's still going to be a good experience, but then we don't have to have the commitment of 4 a.m. wake-up calls, which I know.
Where was that when I wanted to go duck hunting? What the heck?
Whoops.
3 a.m.
We didn't want to steal that experience from you, or
you had to get the whole deal.
I did it for the podcast,
and I feel like that would have shorted us on the experience, don't you, Nate?
Oh yeah,
3 a.m. Kaylee.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's no filter at 3 a.m. And there's hardly a filter at 3 p.m., but really at 3 a.m., there's really no filter.
It was worth it.
I'm not sure anyone's ever seen 3 a.m. Kaylee, like in the history of the world.
Yeah, we might have had an unprecedented experience.
It's like a comet.
Some friends in high school when we stayed up all night long, but other than that, I don't think so. A
like
unicorn.
A comet.
What is new? What's new with you, Kaylee? You got anything new?
Not really.
Just happy
just
to be here.
Living my life.
Happy
yeah,
to be.
I'm just living my best life.
Breathing a girl living in America.
Yep. Polk County. Living the dream.
What is new with you, Emily? I know what's new with you, so tell us.
Well,
are you excited about the pay your age thing?
I am super excited about it. I really hope we get some people who are not like just taking advantage of it, but are so sincerely grateful for it that it propels them into the lifestyle.
Yes.
So what's new with me is...
How do you feel about calling it the lifestyle? Because I'm not sure about that. I don't love that.
It's a lifestyle.
It is.
It is a lifestyle.
Yeah. You're okay. Either in or you're out.
Yeah. You all talk a certain way. You dress a certain way. You go to events together. There's equipment involved. I mean, it's just like any other lifestyle.
And we're off.
Here we go. Oh, which by the way, if any of you saw me Insta storying at, where were we?
Bill Jackson's.
Krabby Bill's.
Bill Jackson's. And you, I'm sorry. I just apologize.
You were a mess.
I know.
During that
I'm
whole
so
video.
Sorry. I didn't even realize till I watched it later. I was like, oh God, they could hear me.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
I got to speak at a Bill Vanishing Jackson. Paradise event the other night. If you don't know what she's talking about, I got to speak at a Vanishing Paradise National Wildlife Federation event, and Emily was in charge of social media, and I have not seen those, and they expired. The stories went away, so I have no idea what happened, and I apologize for whatever happened. She just had the phone, and she went off on her own, and
I didn't hear it. I mean, I watched it,
good,
but I didn't. I guess yeah. My sound wasn't on.
I've had some
feedback.
All
I feedback. Heard was like, I heard like a, who is this guy? I didn't hear that.
Oh, while you were filming him give his speech? Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah.
Not his speech.
It was sweet.
Like,
it was sweet, though.
Our
I mean, you could tell. It was sweet, though. You could tell that you were, like, super proud and, like, you really love seeing him up there doing that.
He's in it. He's with his people.
Yeah, plus, all it takes is one look at me. I mean, obviously, she liked all looking right. At me.
And we're done.
And that moment's over. What's new with you, Em?
Okay, we'll be starting over. If you're an OG listener, you know that I typically cover reviews in this segment. And we've had this review from D. Wood Nasty. He's been on several times. And he keeps updating his review. So our joke is that he is in jail. And that must be the only thing he has access to.
Not jail.
Via the internet. Prison.
Jack Ryan. Nate, you watched Jack Ryan, right?
Right.
You know how the Americans are like in prison over there? Like the terrorists have him in the camp. I'm thinking right. D. Wood Nasty has that, and he's got like an old iPod shuffle or something with no Wi-Fi, but he can only get iTunes reviews.
So he must have gotten some like good behavior time because he got to update again. And he says, this is his third update to this comment. Emily is a cop-out for releasing a release. It's nice to not hear Nate mention fly fishing for an episode. And then he says, keep up the good work, except for Emily. You need to step up your game.
Oh, wow.
He's a frenemy.
Yeah, wow. He's throwing haymakers right
there. I love it.
That's aggressive.
D-Wood Nasty, I hope that wherever you are, they're treating you well. They're not grinding up all your food and then burning it and feeding it to you.
Like a jute cake.
Like a jute cake in prison. And you're not having to drink toilet wine.
She just finished season 5 of Justified. You can tell.
We also had another actual review from Lori Walker. She said, I could listen to the Southernisms episode. That was episode 56. On loop for a month. So many good sayings on there.
I know Lori in real life, and I would like to call her on that and see if she actually could listen to it on loop for a month. Like, I feel like that would be a great challenge.
If anybody can do that, they deserve like a Nobel Peace Prize or something. Like, I don't, you know.
I had one of my friends like live messaging me while he was listening to it. Yeah. It was interesting. I forgot we said something.
I forgot to share one, and I said it the other day. So Travis and I were at lunch, and they had these like really thin paper napkins at the table. And Travis was like, those napkins are so thin and terrible. Like, you can't even use them. And I was like, yeah, my parents say that about really thin toilet paper. They call it John Wayne toilet paper.
And do you know why they call it that?
He goes, why do they call it that? And I was like, I don't know. I've never asked.
Let me just take a guess. Because John Wayne is a hard dude. And like, he would use that toilet paper and think it's like the softest thing ever.
No.
That's what I thought.
That's where
my mind goes.
I'm like, Dad, I've heard you guys say this for years. I don't know why you say it. Why do you say John Wayne toilet paper? And he goes, because it don't take no shit off nobody.
Dang. I like that a lot.
I love Rob Wally.
That's awesome.
And I wish so bad I had included that on that episode. So maybe next time.
So there you go.
That's what's new.
Wow. So what are we talking about? Recently, like in the last week or so, there was some, what would you call it? A furor, Nate? Like there was some
firestorm.
Yeah. Some tumultuous times around a Idaho Game and Fish commissioner after some photos were leaked of him hunting in Africa. He killed a giraffe and he killed a family of baboons. And these photos got leaked out to the internet, and the internet basically caught on fire. So we felt like, in true Cast and Blast Florida fashion, when the people call, we must answer. Like, of course, we're going to bring you Southern sayings and we're going to draft boat songs. But at the same time, there are moments when we have to put on our big boy pants and address these issues. So that's what we're going to do. So, Emily, you're going to set up the stage for us a little bit and talk about, for those that don't know what happened.
Sure thing, Travis. And we'll have links to everything I'm about to name in our show notes if you want to go read this for yourself. On October 15th, NPR released an article called Idaho Game Commissioner Resigns After Killing, quote, Family of Baboons, end quote, in Africa. Now, this is Commissioner Blake Fisher. He is appointed, not elected. So he was appointed to the Idaho Committee in 2014. And then he was reappointed in June of 2018. So he must have served faithfully and well because he was reappointed.
Yep.
And the first thing that kind of stuck out to me, if you want to kind of park for a second, was the title of the article says he killed a family of baboons. And I thought that was kind of incendiary, the word family. And I kind of paused and I was like, why would they put that in the title unless they were trying to start a fire? So I dug a little bit. So the reason that this leaked at all was because Blake Fisher sent an email to a private email to people with pictures of his hunt. And the caption for that picture in his private email was, so I killed a family of baboons.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pause right there. Is there anything else you want me to touch on before we start doing commentary?
No, I feel like, so we should describe the picture of the giraffe. Was a big giraffe with its neck bent back. Like, it was your classic trophy shot of a giraffe.
Right.
And if you haven't seen the picture of the baboons, they staged the baboons all like they were sitting together with a young baboon.
In the lap
of one of the baboons.
And they were all dead.
So we've set the stage there. I think it's a good time to get Kaylee's take. Nate, why don't you introduce why we've got Kaylee on the show?
Yeah, so Kaylee is my sister, for those of you who do not know. But she is not what I would call a hunter. She has grown up around hunting, obviously growing up in our family. We are a family of hunters. But she's never really been hunting much at all. She's gone a couple of times, once immortalized in a podcast. And one time she went with my brother on like a hog hunt. And so she is coming at, we're trying to get kind of a fresh perspective of someone who is kind of new to this type of world, right? Kind of not really have seen a lot of like Grip and Grim type.
Kaylee pictures. Doesn't sit in the outdoors industry.
She's correct. Never intentionally and, you know, killed an animal.
No, last time I was in a tree stand, I had a panic attack.
Yeah, and I mean, Nate is not in the outdoors industry per se beyond the podcast anymore, but for what, 5, 6, 7, I mean, for a long time, every day was like archery, so your perspective is same with me. So we wanted to hear, give us your thought. Have you seen these pictures?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't see the giraffe, but okay. I saw the baboons. So like Nate said, I grew up around it, so I'm not like put off by hunting. I have nothing against hunting, but I always grew up believing and thinking that you shoot to eat, you kill to eat. And so I think I have a problem with trophy hunting maybe, and seeing these pictures, I mean, like, it broke my heart in a way, because I was like, this is not okay. Like, and I know animal, I'm not a fan of PETA or anything like that. Like, I love meat and all the animals and things, but I don't know, this, there was something about this that it just, the way the picture was set up too, with the baby in the lap, I mean, it was clearly a family, however that works in the animal world, but it was just, I don't know, it's kind of like sobering to look at and read. And I know everyone has mixed opinions, but I just don't think I'm a big fan of trophy hunting, because these animals are just like living their life and people come and like kill them, so
for fun.
Yeah, for fun, and just so that they can have a picture to send to their friends, like, oh, look at what I did. I don't know, that there's just something about that that's not totally okay with me.
And let me interrupt, Nate, right. Let me interrupt before you go, because I'm going to turn you loose on this. Because I want to give credit to one of our listeners, and we actually met him at Bill Jackson's for the first time. His name is John Kitson. And John's a real good guy. He's pretty big in the Tampa Bay Fishing Club, the Tampa Bay fishing community. And he came on kind of with a very similar approach to you, Kaylee. He doesn't have a problem with hunting. He's killed a deer before, but he just... it talking through it, but we had such a good dialogue on Facebook that as it went on, he came up to us. He's like, well, I didn't know a lot of the stuff that was discussed. Kaylee's comments were like an 80 mile an hour fastball. And Nate is like Aaron Judge. For those of you that are baseball fans, like he's about to just go.
Yeah. I was sitting on that one. So you said trophy hunting. So let's talk about trophy hunting for a second. I think everybody at this table and almost every hunter listening to this is going to be against the idea of trophy hunting. It's hunting just for grins and pictures and to say you did it. Because we are all, every hunter I've ever met eats everything they kill. I mean, for the most part. And so in Africa, trophy hunting is like, it's like the word over there. I mean, it's like when people go to Africa, people automatically think like trophy hunt, because you can't bring the meat back home. It's illegal for a bunch of different reasons, mostly like disease transmission and things like that. For most African hunts, everything that is killed is consumed, mostly by local villagers and the hunter while he's there. And that's the majority of Africa hunting. As far as meat consumption goes. So, like, he shoots that giraffe, right? And he shoots those baboons. I don't know what the deal is with baboons. I don't even know if they eat them.
You can eat them.
So I'm not going to.
Villagers do eat them.
Okay, well, So I'll just speak to the giraffe because it's there's a lot more meat on a giraffe. All of that meat goes back into the village, the local villages around where the animal's killed. And this is a generalization. There could be some places that don't do this. I don't know of any. I've never heard of any that don't. So anyway, so this idea of trophy hunting is kind of skewed. And trophy hunting is a word used as like a negative connotation. It has a very negative connotation. And so the money that's spent on these hunts in Africa go right back into the animals. A lot like it is here. You know, they buy tags for these. That guy probably spent upwards of... I don't know.
$100,000?
Yeah. I mean, just for one giraffe, he probably spent $20,000 just for that giraffe. a lot of that money goes right back into the commission, the game commission of the country that he's in, to protect against poaching and to, you know, help help animals thrive, much like we do here. And so everything this guy did was completely legal. I mean, you know, right? So let's just talk about, you know, just that idea of trophy hunting. I just kind of want to get that out there, because that's going to be thrown around a lot, and people are just going to be like, oh my God, it's trophy hunting. Now, my opinion, do you want my opinion now, or you want it?
Oh, let's have it.
All right.
Roll on, brother.
My opinion on the picture of the family of baboons. We as hunters live in a world right now where a lot of things are against us, right? I mean, okay, so the statistic is like 80% of Americans are okay with hunting. That number goes way down once you start getting into like specifics, right? So like, are you okay with bear hunting? Are you okay with predator hunting in general? Are you okay with hunting over bait? Are you okay with what you mean? And just the numbers keep falling, right? And you get down,
yep,
way down. And so, and I understand that this was a private email sent to his friends or coworkers or whatever, and that it was leaked. It wasn't like he didn't actually put it on social media, which is good for him. I mean, good for him not doing that.
Yeah,
it was great.
At least he had some level of judgment there.
Right, some level of. But whenever you frame a picture like that and you decide to share it with anybody, you put yourself out there. I mean, you have authorized these people to see this picture and to form an opinion about this picture. And you put yourself out there, you make yourself vulnerable to things like this article coming out and you resigning as a commissioner, as a game commissioner. So we as hunters have a lot against us, and it doesn't take much these days for people to come out with the pitchforks and the torches yelling about hunting. And so when I see a picture like that, it's like, why make it harder for us? Like, why make it more difficult for hunters to be accepted in this world, right? I mean,
yeah,
everything's already against us. Why make it harder? And I saw a comment on the Facebook thread you put that I thought was interesting. Like, one of the lines in the article is like, somebody was quoted saying, just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Right?
Yeah. That was Fred Treve. He left the commission. He was on the commission and he left in 2015.
Right.
And yeah, that's the quote. And legal does not make it right.
Chad Andrews, he's a good friend of ours.
Yeah. Friend of the show. And I like Chad. But like, he said, like, this is the kind of verbiage that is will hurt us eventually. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, because it's legal to shoot a deer with the 50 caliber BMG. But is it right to do that?
Yeah.
That, I mean, this is the kind of thing, there's legal and ethical, right? Mm-hmm. Just because it's legal doesn't necessarily mean it's ethical.
So, Emily, jump in on that.
So I don't know if you saw my response to it, but I said, okay, so the quote is, legal does not make it right. I said, see also pornography, see also abortion. Because it's not, I think there's a spectrum probably to everything. And, you know, pornography is legal. It's also got restrictions. There's also, you know, if you look at the bell curve of that, there's things that are way out there that some might consider unethical. And then the majority of people are okay with everything in the middle. And then there's people who are completely anti-pornography. And it's the same with abortion. I can see that if there's a medical problem or a rape situation, maybe somebody could justify doing that. Whereas some people on the opposite end could never avail themselves of that choice, and it's all legal. So yeah, legal and ethics is a tough place to be. My final comment was, I'm just so glad that I'm not being held to a legal standard that is an ethics standard in someone else's head, because our ethics are all different and they're individual.
Right. No, and I agree. And there's a lot of that in the hunting community. There's a lot of legal versus ethical.
Yeah.
And hunters debate back and forth all the time about
it. Well, and this is, Nate and I love to talk about nuance. This is, I think when I talked the other night at Bill Jackson's, I talked about having discourse. this is one of those cases because I don't actually agree with Nate on this. I hate the term trophy hunter, but I don't. And I think you said this. You don't really have a problem with this guy going and paying $20,000 for that draft, right?
No, you're right. I do not.
So, and but at the end of the day, that guy has, he's going so that he can get that giraffe to hang up in his living room. Growing up reading Africa books, and this is, there's a little bit of an Americanization of culture because we see a baboon and we relate to it, right? It's cuter than seeing a stack of redfish that are laying there dead. They may all be.
Grew up watching the Jungle Book.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Disney personifies everything. So we've got this problem because they're baboons and they have these cute little faces. They look like people, but really, like I said, you don't care if it's a boat in Louisiana that's got 15 redfish laying on the deck, even though they may all be cousins. So yeah, he used that term family and he sent it in an email, and that's a whole different can of worms, I think. But where I was going with this is I don't want legislation of morality. And I thought it was kind of crappy of Fred Trevi to, and I think this is what Chad was saying. It's kind of crappy of Fred Trevi to come out and say legal doesn't make it right. I do agree with you, Nate, hosting this podcast with the reach that we have, like we're not celebrities in the outdoor industry, but with the reach that we have, I would think I trust Nate enough to know he's not going to post a picture of that. If he goes and kills 5 pigs tonight, he's not going to stack them up so it looks like, you know, Little Red Riding Hood came over.
A family Goldilocks. Of pigs, right?
Who was the pigs? The three little
big
pigs.
Bag the three wolf. Little pigs.
Yeah, those guys. You're not going to stage a picture to look like that. Like, you're not going to do that because you understand the perception outside that. And some people are tone deaf to that. However, when you kill and you harvest and you want to take a memory of that, I do understand you may want to take a picture. And it's just, there's an interesting dichotomy there. When you go to Africa, baboons, as I understand it, from growing up reading like the Capstick book and stuff like that, baboons are a nuisance animal. They are unregulated. You can basically kill as many as you want. They're like raccoons. They get in the trash. They will take anything you leave outside, including small pets. Like they're kind of like hogs or raccoons. Or so because we're in America, we look at the problem through the lens of Disney, but the rest of the world doesn't really look at it that way. So I don't know. I have some struggles, and then I'll dovetail that into the giraffe for a second. He went and shot this giraffe. So if we don't have a problem with him shooting the giraffe, at some point he shot it so he could have a giraffe skin rug or a giraffe head on his wall or a... At some point, he did what was legal. He followed all the rules and he gave money to conservation to go do it. You can't really condemn him for what he did. I get it. I get the tone deafness of it. I struggle with it because it's a dichotomy to me.
Right. No, I don't have a problem with him going to Africa and shooting baboons and shooting giraffes. Like, if he would have done that, and like, you know, my problem is the way that picture is perceived.
Agree.
I mean, that is my main issue with this whole thing, is the way that picture is perceived and the way he set it up the way he did. And it's just like, it's super disrespectful to the animal, in my opinion, because I am a big believer that you respect everything you kill. Like, and you respect it in multitude of ways, right? You respect it in the way you handle it, the way you handle the pictures you take and the way you handle the meat and the way you feed it to your family, your friends or whatever.
Nate, is that kind of like when you see guys doing the boot lip, like where they're shotgunning a beer into a duck's mouth, or they're doing the cigar with a deer or a cigarette with a deer? Like, is that?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's the same concept, right? It's let's show some respect to the animals that we harvest. Right. And those pictures get put out and, you know, the wrong people see them, it just, it skews their mind towards like all hunters are asshole rednecks that don't give a shit about anybody but themselves. And that's what I'm trying to fight against with, you know, I can't stand that. I honestly can't stand it. Because it's just, it's so like, it makes me irk, and I'm a hunter. Like I've done this my whole life, and it like, makes my stomach churn when I see stuff like that.
Yep. So back.
Can I say something?
Please, y'all jump in.
Just really quick. Yeah. I just want to clarify around the quote, because let me read it in its entirety and then I'll tell you what I think. So they say, Trevi, this is the Fred Trevi, the other commissioner who left in 2015, said, while he believes Fisher's hunt was legal, quote, legal does not make it right. According to an email response that the Statesman also obtained, Trevi added that the baboon image did not meet standards of sportsmanship. So I don't have clarification I would want to ask him if he meant legal does not make it right in reference to the hunt or the picture. And I think that's an interesting distinction from this
guy.
Agree.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I like what he said the second time. Doesn't meet the standards of sportsman or whatever. I can't even remember what he said. Sportsmanship, whatever.
Standards
he
of said. Sportsmanship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with that statement. I also agree with Travis that I don't really want morality regulated because it's so subjective, right? I mean, yes. It's just across cultures and across people, and it's very subjective. But, you know, in the hunting world, we have these types of debates all the time about what is legal, what is ethical. Yeah. I don't know. My biggest problem, I'll say it again. My biggest problem is just the way that picture was framed.
So like
if you were just taking a picture of one of those baboons and said, look, I killed a baboon, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. I guarantee it.
And I think that's where it landed, because I actually pulled up Blake Fisher's resignation email, and I'm going to read you a little bit of it. I recently made some poor judgments that resulted in sharing photos of a hunt in which I did not display an appropriate level of sportsmanship and respect for the animals I harvested. While these actions were out of character for me, I accept responsibility and feel it is best for the citizens of Idaho and the sportsmen and women that I resign my post. So I think he got it in the end, and he probably knows he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I think so.
I can't imagine being in the moment in Africa surrounded by these baboons that I just shot and someone saying, hey, you know what would be funny? Like, let's put the baby in the mom's lap, and then him saying, cool, let's do that. Where's your phone? You know, like, that's what bothers me.
Yeah, Kaylee, get in here.
I feel like I'm having like an internal struggle right now because I'm not against hunting. And I think when you said that in Africa, and I'm looking at it from the lens of America. So like if this were to happen in America, I'd be like, what are you doing? Because baboons aren't a thing that we
That's the only
shoot.
Lens any of us have
right.
to go through, right?
So I think when you relate them to like hogs or raccoons, so like if Nathan were to go tonight on a hog hunt and shoot 5 hogs and even send our family a picture of them, I would not feel the way I feel about this article.
Yeah.
But I think because of the way that the picture was set up, it just makes it way too real in a way. And like, I know it's real and that actually happened, but, and I think we grew up, it all boils down to the respect thing. That was a good point that Nathan made. The way we grew up is you always respect the animal, always, because it is a life that you're taking at the end of the day. And whether you're doing it to hang in your house or to eat or whatever, you always respect the animal. And this just felt disrespectful to mainly the animal. And I don't know how things happen in Africa, and people probably eat them, and I'm sure it's giving back to the community in a way, but reading that, for people that don't know about hunting and are just scrolling through Facebook and see that, it's going to piss people off
mm-hmm.
that have no lens of what hunting is.
It bothers me because the guy did not do anything wrong except for, well, no, he did something wrong in the way he framed the picture. I agree with everybody on that. Here's what I hate.
Subjectively wrong.
I hate that we're in this world now where when you screw up one time, you're done. Like that I think is actually my bigger struggle. To Emily's point, I can see people doing a crazy thing. I mean, I've kissed fish on charters before because somebody dared me to do it, or I've torn a bait in half, or you know what I mean? Like, you're out there, you're having a good time, you're having fun in the heat of the moment. Is that a tasteless picture? Yes. But he's 10,000 miles from home. I don't know how far around it is the earth, but it gives me a struggle. It's 24,000 miles around the circumference of the earth, I think. So he's basically 10,000 miles from home. And it gives me a struggle internally because I don't like that he had to step down from his job and he lost his position over what may have, I mean, as I understand it, this guy's been a champion for conservation. He was a champion for conservation for spending this kind of money on a conservation hunt. Something Nate mentioned a little bit, but we didn't get into is the fees. The governments in Africa don't have enough money to, the biggest industry over there, the biggest danger to a lot of games are they need the grass for hoof animals. So they'll take over game parks where giraffes and stuff roam because they can either sell the giraffe to a hunter or they can put cattle on that land and use the cattle to eat. Those are kind of the choices. So if you have enough land where you can keep a huntable population of giraffes, that's a good thing for giraffes. It's a good thing for hunters. It's a good thing for Africa. You're not replacing them with another hoofed animal. The other thing is the professional hunters, because they get paid so much for the giraffes, actually act as a de facto game warden in the area, because they don't want anyone poaching lions or giraffes or leopards, or they want to protect that game. So they've actually almost militia wise increased their footprint as far as a game officership goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't know. To me, it's a really sucky situation all the way around.
And I think it's sad that this guy, this is all he's going to be known for now. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know who he is as a person. We don't know who his family is. Because
his
mustache
is straight fire.
Right. I'm sure people in Idaho are wonderful people. Like, you don't know if he goes to church on a regular basis. You don't know what anything about him. But now, because of this, this is all he is known for. And he is an asshole hunter that shoots things that he shouldn't shoot. And, you know, it's just, that's the sucky part of America and our world right now, is things like this ruin people's reputation. He felt like he had to resign when he, at the end of the day, didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Nothing illegal, nothing wrong, whether it's against your standards or not.
It's really scary. I mean, because if I did something, you know, if I had a boss that was maybe a different religion or something, and I did something offensive to him, could he ask me to resign? I mean, how far is this, how far do you take it?
And I think that was Chad's point on Facebook, as far as this is a dangerous precedent to set, even though I think we can all agree at the end of the day, the right thing was for him to resign.
I mean, I agree with that.
I think he took the hit that, you know, Nate, like you were saying, instead of everyone. I mean, everyone who read it that's going to be offended at hunting in general is now offended. But him resigning stops the story.
It stops the story, and it,
yeah,
it empowers.
It definitely cools the fire. I mean, mm-hmm. It really does. And, you know, that's where things kind of, it's like, okay, cool. He's gone. Move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, in this situation, that was the right move, honestly.
Yeah, and I think people get to move on with their lives, but then what does his life look like now?
Yeah, exactly.
Not to be super dramatic, I don't know. He might just be living normal, but will he hunt more? Well, you know, just don't know.
Well, and I think, honestly, his stepping down was a nod towards conservation, mm-hmm. right? If he stayed there, that can hurt hunting. It can hurt a lot of things. So by stepping down, to me, it's a testament to him, and I don't know the conversations. You know, we weren't privy to the backroom deals or anything else, but to me, it's a nod in the direction of, by stepping down, I'm not hurting conservation further. So he can continue to hunt, he can continue to fish, he can continue to be an outdoorsman. He just can't serve in that capacity at this point. So I think it's a fascinating
case study.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, you want the last word?
Be better at taking pictures of your dead animals. Be better. Wipe the blood off. Put the tongue back in its mouth.
Yeah, because if he didn't post the picture, or if this picture hadn't leaked and you just read the story, would it have gotten this much?
No.
The picture
is what gets you.
It's the picture, because that's what got me. If I would have read the article, I'd be like, okay, he went to Africa. He paid a boatload of money. I would spend $100,000 differently. But, you know, to just have a fun trip, and now, because he posted this picture got out.
In what is the perfect outrage culture?
Yes.
Because let's be honest, it's the outrage culture that drives this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think,
I mean, everything is like the worst thing that's ever happened.
Right. And it's a good word, because, you know, duck season's about to come back. So let's be conscious of everyone else in the world. Maybe not be so self-centered or eager to get on social media that we just snap a picture and post it. Like, let's be thoughtful about how we're representing the whole community, the lifestyle.
not with the don't, equipment don't love and that. All. Kaylee, do you have a release?
My release is leg day. Leg freaking
preach.
Day.
Come on.
You haven't even done it yet, but once this podcast is posted, you will have done it. So we can
I've done
share.
It before, though.
Okay, but you probably have forgotten. I feel like it's like childbirth, where women say they forget. I think that's a lie. I don't know how you can forget that. It was not good. I did it this morning. It's Saturday morning. I've never gotten up and worked out on a Saturday morning ever in all 25 years of my life.
Emily, you have to be quiet on this. Kaylee is doing Emily's Beachbody group.
I am. She's my coach, and
nope,
she's
Emily,
wonderful.
You're not allowed
at
to
it.
Talk. You're not allowed to talk. Kaylee's allowed to have the floor. This is her release.
She's a wonderful coach. But she is where I want to be. I'm not there yet. So sometimes it pisses me off because I'm like, I just want to get this over with so I can look like Emily. And I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. But today was leg day, and it was 39 minutes of hell on earth.
Yeah.
I cussed at the TV. I flicked the TV off. Joel, I love you wherever you are out there in the world, but I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to be able to sit on the toilet to pee come tomorrow or Monday. Like, I have stairs in my house. I'm not going to be able to walk up and down them. I have to call out of work. This sounds dramatic, but y'all, you didn't do it.
That was well
never,
said.
Never skip leg day.
Right. Never skip leg day. And I can feel it in the butt, which, you know, got to get that booty.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my Lanta. It's a good hurt, but it hurts.
I think you just said everything. Thanks. I hope you enjoyed that. We will now turn Emily's mic back on after Nate gives us his release.
She wants to say so many things.
My release is that college football is already halfway over.
Oh, so sad, right?
Don't tell me
that. I'm bummed about it. It goes by so fast every year. I got to figure out a way to slow it down a little bit. Maybe watch more games. I don't know. But it's depressing.
I wish our listeners could have seen your face right then. Like, you really, it was almost like Nate spent about 3 seconds on that idea. Like,
yeah,
maybe I can't slow it down. Like,
he had an epiphany mid-sentence.
I don't know, but I'm just, I don't want it to end because I really love college football.
I do too. I love it so much more than the NFL. It's just so pure, and you got all the pageantry, and it's just, here's the good thing though about college football is come like mid-December, because I'm the December birthday guy. Come like mid-December, it feels like there's a game on every day for like 6 weeks or something because of all the bowls and all the
bowl season, yeah.
Championship games,
playoffs
and everything.
Now.
Yeah, for like a month, there's a game every day, and it's usually a good game. It's like an entertaining game, even if it's like Eastern Michigan versus Ball State or something.
Right.
It's fun to watch because it's snowing sideways. Emily?
Did y'all hear about LaCroix having pesticides in it?
Yes, hence the reason I don't drink LaCroix.
Bingo.
It's
been celebrated at my house, much like leg day is hated.
My release is whoever wrote the story, broke the story, decided to research LaCroix, whoever you are, you've ruined my life. Screw you. I'm releasing you.
Are you not drinking it anymore?
I am drinking it. I'm buying it. I am buying it while nobody else is buying it because I think the whole thing's a crock. It's a LaCroix.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Well, when you have cancer next year.
Dang, don't wish that on me.
That's dark.
No,
that was a little dark.
Well,
sorry
somebody
about
here
that.
At
that
this table confessed that they might drink LaCroix. I won't call anyone out specifically.
Okay. I'll call it out because I'll just get out in front of this whole thing. I drank a LaCroix, the key lime LaCroix. It tastes like lime Skittles. Like, it absolutely tastes like the green Skittles.
Which is the worst Skittle.
I don't believe you.
I don't agree with that, but
no,
that's the only one. That's the only one I've ever been
able
to like.
You can't disagree that the green Skittle's the worst Skittle. Kaylee. The
purple is the worst Skittle.
No.
Shut your mouth.
No.
Yellow.
Yes. No.
Purple is the worst.
Yellow's the worst. Purple.
And the green one now is green apple, which is
yeah,
just
that is the worst. I will agree with that. But the old lime one?
No.
It was good.
No. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
I loved the lime ones.
No one liked
the lime
ones.
Because you can mix the lemon and the lime, and it was like Sprite
Why
in your
do you
mouth.
Think the candy companies came out with red bags so that you could get the red and purple ones?
Okay. The red ones are objectively the best.
Of course
can
they are.
Just all agree
in any
can
candy,
we all agree on that?
The red is the best.
Yes. Except Starburst.
The pink is the best in Starburst.
Pink is the best.
But red
pink
is second best.
No.
In Starburst.
Okay. I feel like we've,
yes, I agree with that.
We've gone a little off track.
How do we get here? Oh, LaCroix.
You know what? I got a new release. Green Skittles. Boom. Drop the mic. All right. Let's do keeps then. That's really my release. Green Skittles.
Okay, buddy.
I'll save my release for next week.
Lime
Skittles release
or a green apple?
Whatever green Skittle is in whatever bag of Skittles I get is
this
the
is
worst.
Very on brand for Travis. If you don't know him personally, he doesn't eat anything green.
It's the outrage.
Except
culture.
Brussels sprouts and broccoli.
And M&Ms. I love green M&Ms.
Okay.
M&Ms all taste the same.
I know,
it's
but
all
you
chocolate.
Save the green ones to the end.
Oh my gosh, I'm so angry.
So let's do keeps. Who wants, Kaylee, do you have a keep?
Yes.
Leg day?
No. maybe ask me in like 6 weeks, 7 weeks, how much longer?
It's my favorite day.
7 weeks. Okay. Do we have, is it going to be the same workout next time? Like leg day?
No, it switches up. It might be the same next week, but it will switch up.
Okay. My keep is Hallmark Christmas movies are about to come back.
High five.
Oh my God.
My friend posted on my wall the other day, the schedule, and it starts like next weekend. Like they're airing one next weekend. So I meant to text you, but I forgot. Travis.
Kaylee and I love Hallmark movies more than anything in the world.
I cannot freaking wait.
Nate, how do you feel about that?
Embarrassed.
I mean, indifferent.
You don't.
I mean, I'm a little embarrassed for Travis. But.
Traumatized.
I have a video of the boys in my family watching a Hallmark Christmas movie and cheering at the end of it.
Because they're awesome.
Because
this video?
On my
I have
phone,
never seen
and
this
I'm
going to
use it blackmail.
Yeah. That did not happen.
Yes, it
that
did,
was a dream you had that you dreamed that you have a video
nope,
about
I'll post
us
it on the cast and
cheering
story.
A freaking Hallmark movie.
I believe it. Because they're awesome because they celebrate everything good.
Yes, and you know what's going to happen,
you know
which
exactly
is the best part, because you can just sit back, relax, have some wine, have some popcorn, and just love the festivities.
Yes.
Don't love that combination, that food combination.
Love it.
Wine and popcorn
wine
is
and popcorn.
Fantastic.
Especially if you get that at Christmas, you get that popcorn with the dark chocolate drizzle
yes.
on top, the kettle corn.
Skinny
Nate,
pop.
What is your keep?
My keep, this might get a little sappy, but my keep was your speech that you gave at the Bill
Aww.
Jackson's the other night.
Aww. That was sappy.
Krabby Bill's.
Yeah, no, because I watched the live thing, and I, you know, the sound quality wasn't amazing, but I was able to hear what you were saying.
I think that was some shade.
I was fighting through the sniffles and stuff in the background, but no, I thought you did a great job. I thought you laid out our water quality issues very well, and it was very pro nuance, which I enjoyed. And so,
thank you.
Good
yeah,
job.
I was like, what would Nate say? Because I really did. I filtered through what Nate said, because Nate never gets political on that stuff. Like, he always plays it right down the middle, and I was like...
He does.
I ran it through my Nate filter.
I try. Mm-hmm. I try.
So I've got a... I'm going to let you go last.
Okay.
I've got a new podcast to keep.
Tell us.
Tell us more.
And I think a week or two ago, we had a review from Gabby Hoffman. Gabby, I talked about this on there, and I've been listening to it, and I really think... Okay. Forgive me for this little bit of a diatribe here, but every podcast, do you notice there's some copycatting out there? Like Ranella does a show or Rogan does a show or whatever. And there's like copycatting of that blueprint, that recipe. And so you end up with some noise. I feel like at some point you've heard this person interviewed on every podcast. You get where I'm going, Nate?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying there's a lot of redundancy. So I like fresh stuff. I like creative stuff. And that's part of the reason we've stuck so much to doing the fun stuff or doing our take on a current event. But Gabby is she's been on NRA TV. She's a political correspondent type person. I don't really know. She's a social media consultant. She's kind of like me, just in DC, and she doesn't guide. So she does like a jack of all trades kind of stuff. And she speaks at events, and she's really well-spoken and put together. She's a writer for the Resurgent. So she started this podcast. It's called District of Conservation. And if you want to understand what's happening around, she calls it Chalk Talk, what's happening around legislation with like the Land Water Conservation Fund, with the bear overturning of the Greater Yellowstone Ecosystem grizzly bear hunt, stuff like that, she really gets into the details of the politics behind it, and without being political. She's apolitical as far as like that goes. I'm sure she's leans conservative, but she's plays it down the middle of the fairway. And I just, that's been missing to me in the outdoor community, is a place that you can go to and say, this is a resource. Explain this Land Water Conservation Fund to me. And you can listen to her. And the podcasts are short. She's done some interviews that are longer, and those are really good. But for the most part, the podcasts are short, and they're super concise, because she realizes some of this is dry information. I'm going to read you some political language about this bill or this law or this whatever. And so she keeps it. I think one of them was 15 minutes. One of them was 11 minutes. One of them was 18 minutes. So District of Conservation, check it out. You'll enjoy it. Listen to our show first, obviously. Much like you do.
Obviously.
But
rate us 5 stars.
Anyway, if you haven't listened to it, we are probably going to have her on as a guest in the coming weeks before the election, just because I want to pick somebody different's brain about their perception of politics and also outside of Florida. District of Conservation. Emily, it's your turn. What is your keep? Here we go.
Okay. So if you've been listening for any time, we announced back in September of 2018 that our sweet, perfect, crazy family dog passed away. And it was super sad. And we had him cremated. And Travis, like, kind of went behind the scenes and wanted to have Coleman's remains put into a decoy. So I don't know how you got hooked up with Justin Selig.
Just friends through Facebook and Instagram. And
but I'm actually, it's on the table in front of all of us. And obviously this isn't TV, but this is the most beautiful.
It's hand carved. He took his, I mean, he put his heart and soul into this piece. It's hand painted. It's gorgeous. It's huntable. So I can take Coleman duck hunting.
It's been water tested. It's so beautiful. And he was so sweet.
Yeah, there's a reason we left this to the end. Anyway, we just want to give a shout out to Justin for this. He's an artist. He does paintings. He does all kind of woodworking.
But he's only been carving for, what did you say, 6 months?
Not very long. And this is an impeccable piece.
It's beautiful.
And I really did. I talked to some guys out of state, and it was important to me, honestly, to try to find somebody in Florida that could do this. Like, that was part of my, I mean, we love everybody. Even Jonathan, Jonathan Webb in Canada, we like him. But we, to pick on a single listener. But no, it just was important to me that it was done by somebody in Florida. And it was important to me that it was, Coleman only really retrieved 3 or 4 ducks species. Teal, wood ducks, mottles. And so I was like, I'd like this to be a duck that I could take my kids hunting with on like an afternoon hunt or something and have a good chance of killing. So I picked the mottled and it's gorgeous. It's a perfect duck.
I mean, it looks just like a mottled duck.
He mottleds, bro.
So
he mottleds, bro.
He didn't even, he was just so reverent about it. Like, he didn't even want to take Coleman's ashes are in there in a velvet pouch. I'm a mess.
She can't do it.
And sorry, y'all are just going to have to love me through it. And he was like, I put them in there where they don't slide around. And he has, like, he wrote a quote inside the duck. And he sent it to us, the bastard, after we left. So we met them. We met him in a parking lot after the Bill Jackson thing. It's like after 9 o'clock at night, because we were over there on the coast and that's where he lives. And so he met with us. We paid him. I cried like a baby. I couldn't even talk. I never met this guy.
She
so I'm
literally
like
cried and
sobbing in the Publix parking lot. And then I just hugged him and got back in the car. And then I started messaging him on Facebook and I was like, I'm sorry I cried like a tiny child, but this is so beautiful. It means so much to our family. We'll treasure it forever. And he's like, I'm so honored that you let me do it. I'll treasure it forever too. Like, it meant a lot to me. And he's a dog person. So it was just like very sweet. I highly recommend him.
Yeah. He wrote, a dog is the only thing on earth that loves you more than he loves himself. So that's actually written inside the decoy.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, wow. It's super cool. He signed it and he actually wasn't going to sign the decoy. And I was like, no, you should absolutely sign it because.
He said he didn't feel right because it's an urn. But like, that's how respectful he was. Yeah. And it was just like, so, I don't know, comforting to know that Coleman was with him.
And I'm telling you guys, losing a dog's terrible, but if you want a cool way to memorialize one, this is a very cool way. And you could take him on the hunt and you could, so.
Anyway. We can sleep with him in our bed.
No, we're not sleeping with a decoy in the bed. That's where we're going to draw the line.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Well, Travis, don't you already have a model duck decoy that you take every hunt? That is like a lucky decoy.
I do.
Right. Well, this should be the new one.
I thought about that, Nate. I think I'm going to limit it because I don't, not to throw all of my clients under the bus, but
yeah,
I have some fears about this one getting shot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We always have decoys that get shot.
You just like put it out right next to the boat or something. Like, you don't have to like
a symbolic gesture. You
know? Yeah. It's a symbol thing.
It's for sure going to get some hunts in.
Let me tell you something funny because Nate can see it online. You can see how the neck is kind of tilted a little bit. After we'd had it for a day or two, I was like, you know, what's crazy is I'm sure that Justin didn't know this, but that's the way Coleman used to stand, or he would like look at us. He did this little head tilt that we knew about. And Travis was like, I told him to do that.
Oh, I noticed it.
Nice.
So he's just so talented. We'll try to link him up. I'm not sure how to, but we'll have a link to him in the show notes if anybody wants to reach out.
Yeah. If you, and he makes shooting decoys. Like he makes regular decoys.
He makes
decorative decoys.
He makes happy
for your
decoys.
House, he can make decoys to hunt over if you like some classic wood decoys. So, Kaylee, do you want to say stay woke?
Stay woke. Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, where insecticide has never stopped me from drinking anything. We covered a lot of ground in this episode, so for links to the NPR Blake Fisher article or our contact information to take advantage of the Pay Your Age hunts, make sure you check out our show notes at castandblastfl.com. Just click on listen and look for episode 57. Later!